And a humble, humbled hello. This is Humbled Holding Up. It's a podcast or a show. I don't know. We do it because we're lonely and Zoom requires it. My name is Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McGarry. And hey, I think it's been, at least like 10 weeks since we started doing these things, something like that. And things have been changing a little bit lately. When we first started, we were all in shelter in place. Now things are starting to open up. We've seen a lot of rapid changes in the last few weeks with restaurants starting to open up. It's been kind of interesting to see how people are going about navigating these new changes in Humboldt.
And last week, I actually, for the first time in 3 months, dined in a local restaurant, and that restaurant was Six Rivers Brewery, and Six Rivers Brewery owner Meredith Mayer is going to be our guest here in just a little bit. Steph, have you been to a restaurant yet? I mean, and sat at somebody else's table?
I have not actually sat at the table yet. As you know, I have a small bebe, and usually in tow with me, so I've been a little worried to do that just yet, but I have gone out. I do a fair amount of takeout, and so in the last week it's been the first time I've gone like grabbed takeout and seen other people sitting in a restaurant. I went to Campground the other day and got a chance to see and watching like the servers come up to the tables and give the specials, you know, doing in the same formal way, but then with a mask on, it was pretty surreal. It was kind of strange.
I don't know what the best places in Humboldt are to buy plexiglass, but they got to be doing pretty good right now. But right now, we want to see if we can get Meredith in here. Meredith?
Hi. Hello. There.
So we are joined by Meredith Mayer, who has been one of the co-owners of Six Rivers Brewery in McKinleyville since 2004. Hi, Meredith.
Hello.
I want to put you in the hot seat right away. What was the last beer you drank? When did you drink it? And was it delicious?
The last beer I drank was actually last night at the brewery. I had a Dakota the Riveter. It's a hoppy pale ale, and it was delicious.
Has your drinking increased or decreased during pandemic times?
It's decreased because I've just been working really, really long hours. So I try to have a drink with staff at the end of the night, but it's been some sober times.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the work you've been doing. You know, we wanted to reach out to you obviously because one of the most jarring pandemic changes to daily life here in Humboldt has been the loss of our public spaces, which are now starting to come back, thankfully. I think Six Rivers Brewery, pretty inarguably, is one of the most traffic gathering places McKinleyville has. I was in the McKinleyville for the protest at Pearson Park last week, and when that was over, someone said, "You want to go to the brewery?" And that ended up being my first time that I'd sat down in a restaurant in 3 months. So first, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I didn't know how I was going to feel about it going into it. But y'all have made so many adjustments in order to work within, you know, the health guidelines. I could imagine you being pretty exhausted going over them, but I'm hoping you can tell people who may not have been able to go to a restaurant for dine-in services yet in months. What is it like to dine at Six Rivers Brewery today?
I mean, it's definitely a different business. We're no longer doing table service, which is definitely different for people. We're doing counter service, order at the counter. We have like a pickup window. We holler out, "Andrew, your order's ready." And then you pick it up, you sit down, and you bus your own table, which is again, just about kind of reducing opportunities for exposure for the staff. And that's been really difficult for people too. We're in the hospitality business, so it's really hard for us not to want to deliver food and bus tables and, you know, get your drinks reordered and do that thing because it's ingrained in us. But, we're just trying to find any opportunity to kind of lessen that opportunity for us to be exposed to the virus or frankly, any virus, which I've had a lot of conversations about too. So yeah, it does look a little different. We have a new marketplace set up for us. It was really important as soon as it started hearing from, you know, our friends, Diane Sweetheat, who lives down the street, and her coming in and just being, you know, totally desperate. And so trying to figure out ways how we can help people out. The same thing with the Bigfoot Tap Room, for them to all of a sudden have to put the brakes on their brand new business down the street. And, you know, mm-hmm. we were like, any way we can help people is the way we want to help people. And that's kind of how that marketplace evolved. And it's doing really well. We're selling a ton of local products, which makes me feel really good that we're being able to give back a little bit.
Yeah. But some more about like, just like the mechanics of this, you know, you require people to wear a mask while they're up from the table, but while they're while you're sitting at your table, obviously you don't need a mask.
Yeah. And we did transition the interior to 21 and over, which, again, is just about, there's, you know, we can't have games out. We don't have pool. There's nothing for kids to do. And I know kids have a hard time sitting at the table. So it was more about that. Just like, you know, again, cutting any opportunity for us to be exposed any further. And it's constantly evolving. We, you know, as of midday yesterday, we were sending to-go boxes anytime, even if you were just eating out in front on the table out front. Yeah. And then yesterday we transitioned into some plastic containers that we can wash and reuse rather than continuing having people throw stuff away. But yeah, I mean, changes are happening daily. I don't, you know, you sit down, there's a card on the table basically says that your table is sanitized. It's bright pink, so you can see it easy. And it says, please turn me over as soon as you sit down. You sit down, turn it over. It says dirty. That is a indication for us and for everyone else that, hey, just take a beat. We'll get that table clean as soon as people get up. And that seems to be working really well. Definitely takes us cruising around to remind people, hey, we turn that card over. And in general, people have been understanding, helpful. Yesterday was a particularly positive day. People were really grateful we were open. They loved the new system. We've certainly had days where it's overwhelmingly negative and it, you know, sucks our energy. But in general, I think people are adapting well, and it's nice to be open again. It's what we want, but I don't foresee our business going back to the way that it used to. I would highly doubt we'd ever go back to full table service. And that's a conversation Tali and I have regularly about some kind of hybrid table service where maybe you order when you first come in and maybe we'll come out and refill drinks after that. But it's definitely a change of business. And that might be a positive way, because certainly table service was getting more and more expensive for us and harder to make ends meet doing that, because it just requires such a huge amount of staff on to be able to do that. You have a hostess and a busser and two bartenders and five servers. And so
interesting. Yeah, you don't think you will go back to table service, and that's more of a financial decision than it is a health decision, maybe?
Yeah, for sure. I think, okay. It was something we kicked around before. I think maybe the COVID made this transition maybe a little easier for us. It's just getting harder and harder to make ends meet to have that big of a staff. You know, we went from a staff of 50 down to about 19, I think we have on the payroll right now. So huge change for us.
The decision about when and how you were going to reopen was something that you really kind of grappled with. You really carefully considered. You posted something at the end of May, or the brewery did, about that you had been approved already for reopening, but you were still kind of weighing out, you know, what was best for your employees and the customers. And can you just talk a little bit about some of the factors that restaurant owners are taking into consideration as they start to reopen their doors to customers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's two things. When it comes right down to it, people are scared, and there's so much unknown, and the facts about this virus are changing daily. And so, you know, it's hard to force people not only to come back to work, especially when, you know, they were making decent money on unemployment, and then to sway them to come back to work really long hours and in an environment that might expose them and their families to this virus, I think is scary. So they're scared. So making sure they felt confident in the procedures we had laid out. And this was something we talked with them a lot about. It wasn't like Tali and I laid it down, here's how it's going to be. It was kind of evolving. And I think it's still kind of evolving as situations arise and we're able to deal with those and figure out alternate ways. But and the other side of that too was, like, you know, there at that moment at the end of May, we were seeing a rise in cases. We had staff that was exposed down at the Aztec Grill, and we saw really fast that you know, all of a sudden I have four employees out that, you know, are on a mandatory quarantine. And then my boyfriend got exposed at work, and all of a sudden I'm on a mandatory quarantine, and Tali's husband got exposed, and it was like flies. All of a sudden we were down to half the staff. And wow. So, you know, it was, for us, it was a real wake up call that not only can the transmission happen so quickly, but also it could totally, you know, it could conceivably shut our business down, you know, overnight, because we'd have no staff left to be able to come in. So, you know, we're just trying to take every precaution we have.
And you kind of already, you know, touched on this about how how it's been with your experience with the customers. You said that, like, some days people are just really grateful that you guys are open, and other times there's some negativity. I mean, could you talk a little bit more about that? Like, are people sort of complaining that they, like, have to wear masks, or, I mean...
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because we've gotten these reviews lately that are interesting, that were rude. And the thing is people are coming from counties where they don't have to wear a mask. And we have signs everywhere, and the signs say, no mask, no entry. And the next line says, please read these signs as they are written in your best interest for your dining experience. So, you know, we know that people are confused. Reading comprehension seems to be incredibly hard for people, but yeah, I mean, they get mad. So the part of the thing is you have a mask on, right? So all they're seeing are your eyes, which is really hard to tell exactly that. So it's like, how do you know what someone's facial expression, but I'm providing you direction that you don't want, right? I'm saying, hey, can you please put your mask back on? Or, hey, we don't have table service anymore. You're going to have to go up to the counter and order. Really sorry. You know, of course we're sorry. We're apologetic. We want it to happen, but people get really, really flustered, and they don't like being directed, even though it's in the best interest of their dining experience. And it's in the best interest of their health and safety too. So, yeah, yesterday we had a guy who stopped in. It was only one, actually. Yesterday was an anomaly that it was just one guy who came in and said, what do you mean I have to wear a mask? And it happened that was right when the state, you know, had said it was mandatory. So he said, well, now we have the state to back this up, right? Not just the county. It was like, this is a state mandated, you know, you have to wear this mask. Well, I'm done with this place. I'm like, they love you, buddy. See you later. Take it easy. But, you know, I think I was excited. We all actually were really excited to see that the state mandated it, just because if there's consistency across the board. Yeah. And I'm even seeing that around town. I get cute customers coming in that I was at XYZ place down in Eureka and nobody was wearing a mask. The bartender wasn't wearing a mask. And for me, I understand that that's like the business's personal preference, but it sets a bad precedence for everyone else, right? Because then they're thinking, oh, well, you don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to.
Yeah, it's good to have now that the state backing that. And it kind of sounds like it's sort of similar, you know, I mean, aside from all the difference in how, you know, how you're serving, it's like regular service that most people are nice, but every once in a while you get a b-hole who kind of...
Yeah, I think it's just for us, we're a little bit, you know, all of our staff are working 40 plus hours. Tali and I are working, you know, 12 and 14 hour days. So I think all of it, and it's hot under a mask when you're moving around constantly and you're sweating. Mm-hmm. And now you have this person in the door who's just irritated because they have to put a mask on. And so I think, you know, we try not to be short with them, but I think in general, everyone's on the edge a little bit. So, I would think that maybe our hospitality isn't as great as we think it is, but in general, you know, I think it is, but do we maybe get a little impatient with people who want to push back? Like, this is a personal affront to them. Then yeah, kind of, I'm like, I guess move on, find that bar downtown that you don't have to wear that mask at, but this isn't that place.
It's such an odd thing now that, you know, patronage of certain businesses is political. And just the fact that guy would, you know, he in his mind, he was going to get a beer. He walked into a building and you said, put on a mask. And it was that, as you say, that was such an affront that he was like, well, I no longer want that beer, is kind of baffling to me. Like, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. To us too.
We do like to ask people a little bit about just like their humble story. Usually when we interview them, and thought maybe you could tell us a little bit about just how long you've been in Humboldt, how you ended up here, and how you ended up owning a brewery.
I moved here in 2000, and I grew up actually camping here. My parents were agate hunters, well, my mom specifically, and so we would camp 2 or 3 weeks every summer at Patrick's Point, and I was in love with it. So I moved out of the Bay Area during the kind of Silicon Valley rush when I couldn't afford to move out of my parents' house. And I had a boyfriend who wanted to come to school up here, and it was an easy decision. I loved it here. And really the brewery came out of just trying to find my way. I'd come from a family of a long line of business owners. And so I was in sales, and I had a really good job. Actually, I was making six figures, which in Humboldt as a 23-year-old girl was incredible. But I hated it. I hated every day of it. So I was kind of just looking for something to do. And it was kind of late night by a fire. And we were just talking about all the things my friends had the abilities to do. And we talked about starting a brewery mainly for that culture. A bunch of them had gone to school in Chico, and we had really embraced Sierra Nevada and kind of what Ken Grossman had done over there and how he created this incredible community of beer and how people followed it. And, you know, it just had this feel. And so I saw that brewery. Do you remember? I don't know if you guys, how long you guys been in town, but there was Channel 4, and it used to have like a real estate channel. It would just like roll through. And I'd see that that building for sale once in a while. And so finally, my grandfather passed away, and my grandma was like, what am I going to do with this money? And I was like, well, I have this idea. And she was like, write a business plan. And that was the thing I really learned to do in college well, was to write. And so I wrote this, what I think was a pretty incredible business plan. And all my friends bailed out. They were like, no way, we're not doing this. We're not taking this chance. But I was really determined to do it. And so I just started asking people around, like, hey, who do you know that might be interested in investing in this? And someone introduced me to Kurt, who was Talia's original partner. And Kurt introduced me to Talia. And the rest is kind of history after that.
You know, I feel like I have to share something with you. Long ago in high school, when I was in Arcata High, we had this like career day, you know, where you got to go shadow a business person that worked in the field that you were interested in. And back in high school, obviously long before I ever thought about going into journalism, I actually wrote my top career choice was brewmaster.
Oh, and I'm sorry to follow through on that.
You know, sometimes I wish I had gone that route instead too. Yeah, yeah. But I actually I really didn't think that the school was going to allow that, you know, because I wasn't even 21 yet. But they did, and they actually placed me. I don't remember what the name of the man was, or if it's still the same guy. I mean, at this point, this was, you know, over 15 years ago, but I actually shadowed the brewmaster at Six Rivers for a day. And
oh, that's funny. Yeah, Carlos is still there.
I think Carlos has been there forever, right?
Yeah, forever. He's been in the beer scene in Humboldt since the 80s. Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's got great history and tells great stories. If you ever want to interview someone that will just like knock your socks off, you talk to that guy, he'll talk forever. And he does some really great impressions. We'll have to have you come in and brew with him again.
Okay. And then at the end, he just gave me like a bunch of quarters or tokens, and I just like played pinball. Like once we were done, I still had like an hour to fill, and he just like gave me a bunch of tokens and poured me like a soda. And just
that sounds
like,
about right.
So we wanted to try something fun with you, Meredith, if you're game.
Okay.
Yeah, we're blessed here in Humboldt to have more breweries than it seems is fair to the rest of the world. And one thing that I've noted about you over the years is you seem pretty open to drink other local breweries' beers.
Yes.
But we wanted to see how deep this love for your fellow local brewers goes. I'm going to put a minute on the clock. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Other than Six Rivers, name as many locally produced beers as you can. Go.
Oh, just the beers?
Just the
you
beers.
You got Slammin' Salmon. You have Steelhead. You have Sticky Fingers. You got Eel River, all the organic IPAs, and their Emerald Triangle line. I don't think they have names actually for all their particular beers. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a huge fan of Lost Coast. You got Tangerine Wheat, and you have Great White, and you have the Revenant IPA, which is my favorite. And they have a new IPA actually, which comes just in a red box and it says IPA on it. And that is one of my favorites too. Yeah, I mean, come on, I drink them all. You know that I do. Jacob down the street, he doesn't usually have names for his beer, but he makes some great stouts that I like to try. And I'm not really a dark beer drinker, but that's my favorite place to go and try out some stouts. Did I miss anybody?
I mean, did you say a red? Okay, hold on.
Redwood Kern, Super Fingers is my favorite beer over there. I said Super Fingers.
Okay.
Redwood. I like that you care so much about beer that you actually were willing to burn a lot of that time just talking about how much you loved it instead of just firing up.
I think the number of beers that you actually named was low, but the love came through, and that's all that was about anyway. So
yeah, win. You passed.
Yeah, good. No, I mean, I drink everybody's beer. I do. Even we did a little Willow Creek trip. Tully and I got away for a couple of days last weekend. We did bring some Six Rivers beer, but it was mostly Eel River and Lost Coast and Mad River beer, and that's how we roll. There's lots of beer to be drank out there. People drink it up. And not only that, so many local breweries, like we all have our flagship beers and the beers people know, but we're all brewing new beers all the time. So it's important to get out there and see what people got on tap.
Real quick before we let you go, I know that you know, some of the greatest nights that I've had at Six Rivers over the years have been some of the events that you've thrown. I think back to some of the Fat Tuesday parties, which is samba dancers and drums, and it being just so alive in there. And I know that I think that the day that they announced the shelter in place order was the day you were going to have, was it your 17th anniversary?
Is the day before, March. We opened on St. Patrick's Day, and we closed our doors on the 16th, right before our 16th anniversary party.
And I'm sure that was crushing.
It was.
To cancel that the day before.
It was, I mean, I think back to that moment, seems so long ago now, but it was crushing. I honestly didn't think we were going to open our doors again at that point.
Hmm. I mean.
That was a weird day.
Well, now with everything that has happened, I mean, can you foresee a day when, you know, live music returns,
so,
or is that just
we
too
do
far?
Have on Thursdays we have had a musician in there actually, funny enough, he works at Mad River. His name is Nick. And he used to be in a band called Moses Lincoln Johnson and Ook Experience and a couple bands. So he'll come in and play the ukulele or just play solo. But we try to keep that a little bit on the down low because it's less about getting people to stay and listen to him, but more about creating that energy and that ambiance, which Tully and I love.
You keep it on the down low, but you're announcing it on a podcast. That's okay.
Well, and I have actually Facebook Lived it. People are like, there's music in there.
Cool.
But it's not about you coming in and gathering. It's more about like I said, it's like putting flowers on the table. Instead, it's live music.
Down low live music at Six Rivers Brewery. Meredith, I want to thank you for your willingness to do this. I know, as you said, you've been slammed and your feet hurt. Is there any message you'd like to put out to the Humboldt world before we get out of here?
You know what I'm going to say. Support your local businesses, people. Get out there. They need you.
Meredith Mayer, Six Rivers Brewery. Thank you so much.
Stephanie will get you back up soon to brew.
Okay.
I'm jealous.
Well, can Andrew come too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks again, Meredith. It's been great to talk to you. And yeah, thanks for taking the time.
You bet. Take care. All right. You guys soon.
Bye, Meredith.
Cheers.
All right. Thanks, Meredith, for chatting with us. Really interesting to hear how service has been up at Six Rivers. I feel bad. Yeah. For Meredith's feet.
And again, I know it's just like, it gets tiresome to hear people say this, but goodness gracious, people, put on a mask. It's not a big deal. I understand how free you are, and that's adorable and everything, but can we just do this, please?
I know, whenever I have a mask on for an extended period of time and think, this sucks, it's so hot, and then I hear somebody who works at a restaurant and has to work an incredibly long shift or works in a hospital and a really long shift, I think, you know, I have nothing to complain about.
You know what I appreciate about the mask, Steph, is my breath has never been fresher.
Really?
Because I really care right now.
The mask itself doesn't make your breath fresher in any way.
No. That's what we need. We need some breath freshening masks. That's the next evolution of this.
Paul puts a little bit of peppermint oil in his masks, so I've heard of this, and I like it. Experience, because you know, otherwise they smell like fish from the sushi bar. So.
Well, on that fishy note, thank you, Humble. Be safe.